Several years ago, I was watching Larry King's show as he was interviewing one of the most popular evangelists in the United States today. Now, as you know, Larry King is Jewish. And yet, his questions that night reflected a profound insight into the Christian faith. He asked his guest, "Yours is a Christian church, isn't it?" "Oh yes," answered the evangelist through a wide smile and teeth that were gleaming white. "Well," King continued, "I've never been to your church, but I've watched your TV broadcast. And I don't see a cross anywhere. You have a huge stage with a large globe depicting the earth, but there's no cross in sight." Well, the evangelist's response was that his daddy, who had also been a preacher, didn't have a cross in his church either. Just a large map of the world with pins indicating all the places that the gospel has spread. It got me to thinking. And I read what one psychologist observed at the University of Chicago when he said, "Any church that keeps preaching on the cross is not going to grow. Because in our day and culture, what we are interested in is success, not sacrifice." Now, when we think about it, for many Christians, and maybe some who are present here today, Holy Week is without a cross, because we skip most of Holy Week. And that's understandable. Maundy Thursday is a sad day of remembering Jesus' last supper with his disciples, the betrayal that took place that night. The service always ends in this somber kind of way. And Good Friday is worse. The church is bare, the cross is draped in a black veil. Tom will play sad, depressing music. Darkness is the order of the day. The remembrance of Jesus' seven last words from the cross leave us all feeling kind of empty. So I guess it's no wonder that Christians all over the world jump directly from Palm Sunday to Easter, leapfrogging right over all that unpleasantness. Peter Gomes, who is minister in the Memorial Chapel at Harvard, says that we basically ignore the passion, saving the suffering for the faithful few, those moral masochists who will come to church on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. He goes on to say that many churches do Palm Sunday without even a nod at the passion story, so that Palm Sunday becomes just a dress rehearsal for Easter. One writer, a pastor of a church, expresses the sentiment of many when she says this. She said, "I don't have the right personality for Good Friday, for the crucifixion. I'd like to skip ahead to the resurrection. In fact," she said, "I'd like to skip ahead to the resurrection vision of one of the kids in our Sunday school who drew a picture of the Easter bunny outside the tomb. Everlasting life, and a basket full of chocolates. Now you're talking." You won't even notice what you miss by skipping Maundy Thursday and Good Friday until a loved one is walking in the valley of the shadow of death, until you're going through a divorce, until a child of yours falls desperately ill, or a friend betrays you, or a spouse gets cancer, or you're someone who pays attention, I mean, really pays attention to what's going on in the troubled parts of this world, you don't notice what you miss until the world seems or you personally feel God forsaken. Then you need something more than an empty tomb and a basket full of chocolate. You need a God who more than anyone knows your pain. A God who knows your loss and your heartache, your terror at seeing your own life ebbing away. Or worse yet, the life of your loved one. Over the years, the theologians have tried to understand just why Jesus had to go through such suffering and such an agonizing death. A view that has come to mean much to me is that Jesus suffered and died because He loved as God loves. And to love as God does is to be vulnerable. To love as God does is to dare to enter into the pain and the heartache of this world. Martin Luther, the great father of the Protestant Reformation, understood the nature of God not so much in terms of sovereign omnipotence, but in terms of astonishing compassion. Indeed, in German, and you'll have to forgive my pronunciation, in German, the language that Luther spoke, the word for compassion is Mitleid, with suffering. To have compassion is to suffer with another, to be in solidarity with and to experience the highest degree of identity with another person. So why do we include Jesus' suffering in the joyous festivities of Palm Sunday? Why are Maundy Thursday and Good Friday indispensable aspects of Holy Week? Why is it important to remember Jesus' suffering and death? Because in this world and in our lives, there is suffering and there is death. And to remember Jesus' passion is to become aware in a new way that we're not alone. That there is one who is with us, one who shares our pain. One of the old favorite Lenten hymns is the familiar Jesus walked this lonesome valley. The second stanza goes like this. We must walk this lonesome valley. We have to walk it by ourselves. Oh, nobody else can walk it for us. We have to walk it by ourselves. Now I know that many of us love this old folk song, and so you're going to have to forgive me. But this is terrible theology. The good news of Maundy Thursday and the reason we call the day on which Jesus suffered and died Good Friday. The good news is that we do not suffer and struggle and die alone. God is meek-like. God is a with-suffering God. When we hurt, God's heart is the first to break. Today is Palm and Passion Sunday, a day to remember the glad crowds and the festive mood as Jesus entered into the city. Among those shouts of Hosanna and the waving of the palms. But this is also a day for celebrating the fact that for our sake, Jesus didn't skip Maundy Thursday He didn't skip Good Friday. On Palm Sunday, he went straight into the city, straight into the teeth of Thursday's sad supper with his disciples and Friday's awful suffering. Today we stand by the road and we shout Hosanna, thinking that we're cheering him on to triumph over suffering. But the truth is, he goes to triumph through suffering. And because he did, we can be assured that we shall not be alone. We do not walk this lonesome valley alone. Our suffering, our heartaches, our losses, our pain, and indeed the suffering of this world, they are not the last word. God's love is the last word. Amen.
In our calls.